It's good to be with you and to spend some time together in God's Word and see what God has to say to each of us. What a beautiful week, wasn't it? And today a little cloudy, but we've certainly been a beautiful fall weather. I've certainly enjoyed that. Hope you have too. Today we're starting a new series called Living in Hope. And we're going to go through Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. A little bit of background, just so you kind of understand the context a bit. This was written to a community of believers who had been Christians for a very short period of time. Paul shared the gospel throughout the area, right? Places like Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth and Rome. And this is in Thessalonica. He shares the gospel, but we ought to understand that word a little bit more here. Really, it's a political word. It means good news. But the good news that was talked about in those days was that Caesar Augustus has brought you the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And therefore, you ought to show him your allegiance. You ought to confess Caesar is Lord. So that's kind of the context there. And Paul and Silas then came out, and they shared a different story with a risen Savior, a story that says Jesus is Lord. And with him comes his kingdom, and his kingdom brings true peace. Very soon after that, they get accused of defying Caesar. They're rather used to it, but they flee the city and so as not to bring hostility on these new converts. And then later on, after Paul and Silas, they gather with Timothy again, and Paul wonders, how are those new believers in Thessalonica, how are they doing? And so he sends Timothy to check it out. Obviously, it wasn't a quick phone call or a text to see how they were doing. Everything was slow, communication was slow, so Timothy walks all the way down there, and he comes back later on, and he reports back. And he comes back, and he says, they're doing great. They're a healthy community. And then Paul responds to all of that with these letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Some scholars think it might be the very first writings of the New Testament, written around 50 A.D., basically saying not even a couple of decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. So that's where we find ourselves. Now let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God had become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Paul's writing to a pretty healthy community. This letter is not one that pretty heavy in terms of theological content like some of Paul's other letters. It's really a fairly informal, down-to-earth, upbeat letter that he encouraged them. He says, great job, keep going. Over and over again, he uses this one phrase, you already know this, right? And you'll see it when we go through this book. He's saying, you get this stuff. Keep at it. keep going, keep growing. You know, and I think in part, this is why Pastor Dave and I think this is a good series for Hope Community at this time. I mean, things are going well. I'm not talking about COVID and all that. I think as a church, we feel, you know, that things are going well in spite of all of that. It's not perfect. Please never hear that. But we want to say to you, keep moving forward. Keep moving toward good health and good your maturity. Keep it growing. You know this stuff, like Paul says. In the chapter he refers to in verse 7, he says, you became a model to all the believers. You became a model to all the believers. I've titled this message, A Model Church. He says, the gospel rang out from you. Beautiful imagery. Isn't that what we want to hear as a church? Hope Community Church, you are a model. You are a model church. The question then is, how do the Thessalonians and us continue on that path? And Paul writes about that to the Thessalonians. He writes to us about that very same thing. We want to encourage you to read this book, by the way. And what I'd like you to do is to, and maybe even today, but very soon, in one sitting, sit down and read 1 Thessalonians. It's 5 chapters. It's not that long. Just read it through in one sitting. And then each day after that, read one chapter. And then take a bit of a deeper dive. Read one chapter, then pray on it, meditate on it, let it sink in for you. And then ask yourself, well, how am I hearing this for my life? How do I keep going? All right, so just a quick summary, you know, the chapter's really, chapter one, it's kind of an introduction. There's this thankfulness prayer, there's gratitude for faith. In chapters 2 to 3, you get a bit of a description of Paul's relationship with the people. He talks about why he left in a hurry, why he hasn't been back. Chapters 4 and 5, it gets into some issues, and I think that's important. Even healthy churches have stuff to deal with and to work on. You know, I'm sure when I use the phrase that, you know, this church can be a model church, one, it ought to be, but two, it needs work too. You know, there's never the assumption that there isn't stuff to work on. And then their issues, and the one that Paul has to deal with, well, they revolve around sexuality, for example. Not particularly surprising. In Greek culture, there were temple prostitutes. It was common to have a mistress. Sexuality was expressed however you felt like it. Sound familiar? And then another issue that was that there were some who were lazy. They weren't pulling their weight. And then there was also disagreements. Imagine that, right, in our church, disagreement. In this case, one of the key ones was around the future and when Christ would return. And some even thought Christ had already come and they'd missed it. You know, I'm so glad we've settled all that. But anyways, Paul then addresses, what does it look like for God's people, and I think this is key, in the middle of a mess, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of cultural dynamics, how do we live? Idols were commonplace in the culture here in Thessalonica. There's many gods, there's statues all over the place. There's temples. Caesar's a god. Call him Lord. That was the mantra of the day. Call him Lord. And this group of Christians is saying only Jesus is Lord. In this culture, transferring your allegiance is costly. It affected relationships, employment. It often brought about hostility. In this culture, in the Roman Greek culture, there was a big emphasis on status. Right? You know, there were various ranks. You have slaves on the very bottom, and then you have freemen, and then you have a group called equestrians, and you hear the word about horses. These were folks who had enough money to buy a horse and ride around, so they were up there a little bit more. And then you had the Senate, And it was very status-oriented, and it showed up in clothes, right? I mean, only citizens could wear a toga, for example. It showed up in legal rights. Citizens couldn't be flogged. Everyone else could. It showed up in what you ate, what parties you attended, all arranged by status. And you do not want to lose status. That was a process that was described as being humbled. Nobody wanted that. Pliny, a Roman scholar, wrote, and I quote, "It is more uglifying to lose praise to go down than to never have been praised at all." That was the mentality here. And Paul says, we follow Jesus. He's our Lord, not Caesar. And the one who made himself nothing, the one who took the very nature of a servant, that's who we're following. He, the Lord, and here's the phrase, humbled himself. And that would have blown the minds of the Greeks and the Romans. Who humbles themselves? Nobody does that. And this kingdom of God breaks into the Roman world, and then ironically, and we read in verse 6, you know, with all the suffering here, it says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." And these joyful followers whose circumstances are being, it's tough, it's hard. There's a lot of things going wrong. But they have joy because they learn that power comes through surrender to the Spirit, and you depend on His power. And that's the emphasis in this community. Joy comes not through indulging my sinful self, but rather through dying to self. That's gospel. And notice gospel always comes in time and place. We're reading this letter to the Thessalonians. But the gospel comes to us in our time, in our place as well. A gospel that's so much more than just about how to get to heaven. I mean, that matters, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just good advice. Yeah, there's lots of good advice, but it's so much more than that. It hinges on an actual event. At the heart of it is Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, who died, who rose again, and who reigns on high. And the world is not the same because of that. This event is the fulcrum of history. Not the Pax Romana. And these people didn't realize it wouldn't, in fairly short order, the whole Roman Empire was going to crumble. We thought, man, this was a lasting peace. No, it was not. Not the Pax Romana. No, the kingdom of God coming through Jesus as Lord, an eternal kingdom. You know, in our time, many make the fulcrum of history about, you know, the rise of science and technology or Western democracy. And people say, well, that's Lord. That's Lord. And we're saying, no. That's not the Lord. Science, technology, sure. Yeah, democracy, all fine. But that's not Lord. That's not the fulcrum. Jesus Christ is the fulcrum of history. Well, we read it in verse 10. Let me read it to you one more time here. Where it says, a little bit of verse 9 too, says, "They tell us how you turn from to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath." And so you see a combination there of what is the reaction? You turn from idols, and then you wait. But it's not a waiting of sitting around doing nothing. It's a wait of anticipation and a wait of the kingdom to come, and yet it has come. And he is going to return to restore and renew and transform and heal all things. No more evil, no more death, forever peace. But that renewal has begun, and we get to participate in it. And we anticipate its coming. The gospel, built on that past event of Jesus' death and resurrection, the kingdom come. The gospel, a future hope, what is to come, the kingdom fulfilled, the gospel for now, in our time and place, the kingdom at hand, God showing up right now in our lives, in our world. All of that is the kingdom come and coming. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the gospel now, to seek justice now and healing now and restoration now and freedom now and peace now. Not idyllically, not in the sense that it's all there yet, joy in the midst of suffering, right? But it is a process, and we work and we wait, and we anticipate. One writer I read said that in a sense we are a picture of the future. Kind of think about that a little bit. Your life, that's why, you know, church is the model. Your life is a picture of the future, a model of what is to come. I get it. We live in the in-between, you know, with all the chaos and all the promise, with hope yet still experiencing the disappointment of brokenness. And yet hope prevails. We are a people of now and a people of the future, a living hope. You know, and we say, this is what God is doing. This is what God is up to now, and he's moving us forward. This is a snapshot of what is coming. Yeah. You know, Romans 8, Paul says it rather beautifully. I want to share it with you. I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation. And it says, we believers, he was talking about creation groaning, right? The brokenness in the world. But he says, we believers also groan. Any ever groan about COVID? Right? We're still doing this. You groan about brokenness in your marriage, or you groan about brokenness in relationships, or you groan about the brokenness of cancer, you groan about, and we could go on and on. We groan. Paul says, we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. Oh, wow, wait a minute here. So, yeah, I can groan. I can feel the pain of the brokenness, but I hold on to future glory through the power of the Spirit. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait. How do we wait? With eager hope. There's different ways of waiting. You know, waiting in line. Maybe waiting with annoyance. Right? With eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including new bodies he has promised us. There's the picture. That's who we are. This is what it can look like in my marriage. Is my marriage perfect? No. But this is evidence of the kingdom come in my marriage. And guess what? When it's messy, because of the kingdom has come, we go for counseling and we get some help. This is what it can look like in these relationships. They're strained relationships, but I keep extending the hand of peace because I have eternal hope in the God who comes and is coming again. Where brokenness eventually is completely overcome, where tensions are overcome with healing, where creation is healed, where forgiveness triumphs over blame, where freedom from addiction is celebrated. And Thessalonica, you're modeling that. And Hope Community, this is a picture of all that. With the power of the Holy Spirit and his activity front and center of it all. You're imitators of Jesus in your marriage, in your relationships, in your workplace, in all of your life, in the way you vote. In the way you treat creation, in the way you seek justice, you're imitators of Jesus Christ. And your joy comes from the Spirit, not just your circumstances. Paul Paul says, you're a holy people. Yeah, you're set apart. And yet in the midst of it all. Talked about it last week. You're sanctified. And what does that do? Well, that makes me humble. That makes me gentle. That makes me patient. That makes me bear one another in love. Not driven by your wants and your passions and your lust and your brokenness. Not lazy because you want to contribute and you want to produce and use what God has given you, your gifts, your talents, your resources, to help the kingdom come and come in all its fullness. A people living with kingdom community. We celebrate Christ's love and joy and peace and power in our lives. We do this together. We work together. And we learn to work together. I had a bit of a fear of saying something about the idea that we're a model church. Because I know for some people, they have found sometimes hurts in churches. Probably here too. We are learning to work together. I wish we would do it perfectly right now, but it's not. It's a work in progress, and we need patience, and we need grace, and we need to encourage one another, and yeah, sometimes and challenge one another too. This is the work in progress, but we do life together, waiting for Christ to return, working for the kingdom come, showing what the future can look like. The people of hope. Let me ask you. Where is your life a picture of the future kingdom come? Keep doing that. Keep working on that. But let me ask also, where is your life not a picture of the future kingdom come? Repent of that. Work on that. Seek the Spirit's power. The world around us is saying, that's Lord. There, that's Lord. I'm the Lord of my own life. But we know the truth. Jesus is Lord. And our hope is in him. And we put idols aside. And that's probably not a one-time deal. You know, I take the idol back. No, we put the idol aside. Then what do? And then we anticipate and we wait for the kingdom that has come and is coming, and we work toward that. And we live with the thought that not even death is the final, has the final say. No. So we can put aside cynicism because we can live with hope and purpose. There's plenty of struggles, and there's plenty of issues in the world and in our lives. But that's not how the world will be. That's not how it's going forward. What's coming and what is here to some degree and what is coming is the restoration of all things. So, where is God calling you right now to embody the future? And then work on that and trust in the Spirit to empower you to live out the kingdom that has come to you and is coming and is a snapshot of the future. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for just coming, just being with us. Lord, thank you that you came to bring your kingdom. You came to bring healing and hope, joy and peace. Lord, so often we get distracted and we forget that you are Lord and we announce something else as Lord. And Lord, forgive us for that and help us to turn away from our idols, from our lies. And to turn toward you, to wait for you to act, to wait for you to return, and to wait for you to fill us more and more with your Spirit so we can live the kind of life you want us to live in, so that we can be a snapshot of the kingdom come and in coming. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a model church. Lots of work to do, but we model you because we are imitators of you. In Jesus' name, amen.